Okay, here we go. Now, if you missed it, I hope you didn't. Look at the top of Rents, and you'll see the Fukushima featured story up there. It's right at the top, as well it should be. And the reason, if you missed it, finally, after over 5 years, and we knew this was going on 5 years ago, Yoshi and I were right on this from the beginning, that the North Pacific Current, originally starting out as the Kuroshio Current, was bringing radioactive water at the rate of 12 nautical miles an hour across the North Pacific, impacting the West Coast, bouncing off of it, some of it going north up into the Gulf of Alaska, and most of it going down the West Coast. Look, you'll see the map. There's a three-part series of images at that top story. Wind, and then number two and three show the actual ocean current. And I've got it labeled in there all carefully. I've written everything up. It's right there for you, and you can see where it's going. 2017 now, another three years. Look what happens. The whole entire North Pacific Ocean is now red. Red means cesium-137. But that's not all. There are probably a couple of hundred different fatal radionuclide types being dumped into the ocean around the clock by Fukushima. It is a catastrophe. It's right there. All you got to do is read, be informed, and you will understand more than anyone else. And I hope this new EPA person that Trump has selected, who allegedly doesn't like the EPA, I hope he steps in and really starts to kick some fanny. We have never been given anything, honestly, about Fukushima, ever. And if this man begins to talk about the radioactivity all along, it's being held up against the West Coast now by the prevailing currents. It pushes it east, and it stacks up and concentrates and gets thicker, and there's nothing left to kill much along the West Coast, but it's all there. You can see it. In Yoshi's columnist box, his new one, just put it up last night, for China, Trump's rise and Hillary's falls are not unprecedented. It's not a typo. Read the story. It is elegant. It is, it's just terrific writing, as Yoshi always cranks out for us. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing pretty good here in Hong Kong, a little bit out of harm's way. Of course, radiation has reached this part of the Pacific, of course.
Yeah.
Long ago, building up, as you say. And as you know, I just visited New Zealand not long ago and met a researcher there who's connected with the whole Pacific region wide, you know, especially Australians, you know, involved in radioactivity research, scientists. And as you said, there's been a news blackout on radioactivity in the Pacific, and he said Hawaii was hammered. And he said in the first year after Fukushima, there were mutations in plants in Hawaii. And all the official reports said, well, the current went around Hawaii. Hawaii's not affected at all. It's safe here, folks. Not true. Not true. He said it was massively irradiated by Fukushima. And there's mutations in plants in Hawaii. So,
right.
So what we're finding out is just, you know, this probably the largest scientific cover-up, you know, in history. You know, I mean, the UFO stuff, that's, you know, that's thinly covered up. And it's because, you know, I mean, they don't do a lot with these vehicles. So, but the radioactivity obviously is the main thing.
I think that's
the
a very appropriate
is,
point.
Will,
yeah.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the question you raise is, will there be a change of policy now that, you know, the Electoral College has, you know, voted for Trump and, you know, with two more votes in total in his favor, actually four in his favor. He lost two, four in his favor of the electors.
Right.
So basically that is an overwhelming mandate for him to go ahead and tell the truth. You know, the American people are grown-ups. You want to make America great again, we've got to deal with the radioactivity. We can't deal with millions, tens of millions of people falling down with cancer and heart attacks all along, you know, all throughout the United States because of Fukushima. You know, this thing has got to be addressed. We got to get data. The first thing the EPA, new EPA appointee can do is just release the data and then set up more monitoring.
They already have the data. They have the monitoring. They already have it.
They have. They do.
Right.
So just release the data and then try to make, you know, help us make sense of it and give it to people who can at the universities, whoever, you know. And I think a lot of researchers are itching to do that. You know, there's been a flurry of research papers in the last, let's say, 6 months on Fukushima. So researchers know that this cover-up's got to end soon. You can't hide this thing forever. So as you're saying, situation's not getting any better. That earthquake that just happened, you know, about a month ago in Fukushima really broke a lot of the containment. There's been a lot more releases. And this is water that's, you know, when a tank cracks open and breaks or a pipe breaks,
right.
the water at the bottom is going to have a lot more of the radionuclides, you know,
yep.
the radioactive isotopes.
Yep.
And that's going to flush out. So we're talking about pretty high-level contamination. And by coincidence, the radioactivity monitoring station along the sea wall at Fukushima went down, supposedly, during that quake.
Oh, really?
I don't believe that. They said there's no damage at all to the plant, and yet the main monitoring station
knocked out.
Water releases and seawater mm-hmm. was knocked out. So this is a bit of a, you know, oxymoron. You know, I say everything's fine.
Right.
But the one thing that's not fine is that we don't know how much radioactivity is going to water because the technology there has been knocked out. So obviously, when you hear stuff like that, you can assume it's bad. You can assume it's bad enough for them to order a shutdown of that station under the guise that it would not. Because, again, that thing is not on such unstable ground there by the seawall. You know, it's sort of like,
right.
you know, it's a new addition. It's all new concrete, new steel in there. So, yeah, there's no reason for that to go down and nothing else to go down. So, or if they're telling the truth, it went down. That means there's a much more massive damage at Fukushima than they're reporting. So either
Absolutely.
Way,
yeah.
Yeah, either way, it's bad. And it's probably both. You know, I mean, it's all the things that can go bad, it's the Murphy's Law, right? Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong and continues to go wrong. And there's no respite.
Hmm? We have at Fukushima reactors 1, 2, and 3. We have spent fuel pools. I don't know how many tons of radioactive rods are stored in those fuel pools, which are 4, 5, and 6 stories off the ground, ladies and gentlemen, up in the air. And these plants eventually, these steel structures, are going to anneal and they're going to rot and they're going to fall over. The ground is like mushrooms. I mean, oatmeal. And mushrooms probably grow there well too. But it's all muck. Building 4 is like, what was it, 14, 16 inches it had sunk into the muck on one side already? I don't know what it was, something like that.
Well, it's far beyond that now.
Whatever I'm sure it is. That was 3-4 years ago.
I mean, yeah, they covered it up. They put another structure around it to cover
exactly,
it up.
Exactly right. You can't see the bottom of the building anymore. They hit it.
Then when they took that cover, the rooftop cover over Reactor 1, that, you know, that's not like a sign of improvement. That's a sign that the radioactivity is built up so much they have to vent
it
off.
It would have popped. Maybe it would have just popped out.
Yeah, it's constantly bubbling out of the ground. So they had to take the roof off. It's not like they just had to open up a little window or anything like that into the thing or a chimney. They had to take the entire roof off. So it means very, very serious inside. They're just releasing, they're venting, they're leaking, they're releasing as much as they can. So the situation now, I think it's going to be, there's going to be a shock event, you know, because of this, especially around this quake. We've had some big typhoons, but around this quake, let's say in 2.5 years, we're going to see a major spike. So in other words, the Trump administration has got to get on the ball. They got 2.5 years before another big surge comes in.
I agree.
And that will be fatal. I mean, really fatal to the human population.
If one...
People now are... No?
If one of those fuel pools hits the ground, there's nothing that can be done. Nothing.
No. And I've seen a report, but just like a one sentence or less report that the major storage pool there, where they have just, you know, umpteen, you know, thousands of tons. This is after, you know, there's actually a separate.
That's the one in the ground
storage area.
Yeah,
the one on the ground. Apparently, there was some sort of incident there. You know, radioactivity leak that they're just admitting to now 5 years later. You know,
so
we have no idea what's really going on there and how bad it is. They've contained it by, you know, covering these buildings, by nighttime venting, all these dirty little tricks. But I think the situation again, you know, we're going to see some sort of incident probably within a year. That's going to be a shocker. And when that, you know, cloud rolls over, it happens in waves. You know, there's people in New Zealand told me, you know, when the radioactivity actually hit right after Fukushima. I was stunned. You know, they said it came over in these very, what they call thin veils, you know, one after the other. There's like these fronts that came in and dropped the radioactivity over New Zealand and over Australia. And that was never reported by anybody.
Never heard.
And, you know, 5 years later, I hear about this from a radioactivity expert. And he said, yeah, there was came from the northwest side of New Zealand and, you know, from the Pacific. He said it seemed to be cycling down from the Philippines area. That would be the Philippine Trench, where I believe the Japanese government has been dumping high-level radioactive waste, which has really transformed the weather. So. The Trump administration has a lot, you know, I mean, the Obama administration didn't do them any favors, you know, didn't do them any favors.
Trump is inheriting a nightmare, economic nightmare, political nightmare, radioactive
terrorist nightmare. Yeah, terrorist nightmare. Yeah. All created by this current administration. Now, all this stuff could have been, it was preventable. You know, all this stuff, a lot of it was created. And, what can we say? You know, the Obama administration didn't have nothing about Fukushima. Just sent people over there. I saw them on the streets there, right? They won't talk to you, Americans. And no information coming out. They're very relaxed. They're obviously not there in emergency mode. They were there to just manage the cover-up. So, you know, so Donald Trump really has been left a huge pile of the leftovers of this administration.
Horrible.
It's just disgraceful.
It's horrible.
I can't, you know, people think, well, you know, President Obama's a nice guy. No, he was a loafer, a slacker, a do-nothing, and a guy who just covered up every problem they ever had and let his team make everything worse, you know, and on every front. And Fukushima is one of the more disgraceful ones, you know. It was Curion, you know, the fake water treatment. You never hear about the company from Irvine and Hanford.
Not anymore.
About those guys anymore.
Oh, long gone. They got their money and they got their payoff and took off.
Exactly. Payoff for silence. Yeah, exactly. So this is what's happened. So it's really got to end for Americans. I've said before, the Mexican border issue is a major security concern because, you know, there's historic reasons for that. Terrorism problem of these jihadists filtering into Western societies and the United States, another huge problem. But immediately, I mean, right in our face right now, is the Fukushima radioactivity problem. And it has to be addressed so at least you get a handle on it. There's no handle on
we have a God-given right to know what the hell is going on here. That's what Trump kept saying. We got to find out what the hell is going on. Well, tell us, Mr. Trump, have your EPA, tell us, square with us. Tell us the truth about what Japan has done to North America, the Atlantic and Europe and the entire Northern Hemisphere. Tell us the truth. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Ruin the fishing industry? What fishing industry? They're selling fishing boats right and left. There's nothing left.
Yeah.
And then that stupid report.
There's crab left in the markets in California.
No,
so that tells you something. Yeah, those are hardy creatures pretty far down, and then none of them left in the market, so. Obviously, you know, they're shipping them out from like crazy out of New Zealand crabs. So they're eating different crabs on the West Coast. But the issue I'm trying to say here is that, you know, on the border issue, you do have the ICE, you know, the Immigration Service. You have the border, the Border Patrol. You have, local police on the Islamic terrorism issue. You got the FBI, you got local police, you got Homeland Security. But what has the United States got on this deluge of radioactivity? The Department of Energy? Are you kidding? They're the sponsors. They're just doing a cover-up. They're doing nothing. There's no line. There's no thin red line there. So that's why I think right now it's a media problem. The first thing is get the monitoring information out, and there's got to be some strategy how to stop this stuff, you know, how to contain it, and there's got to be pressure on Japan. No more tolerating this.
No more burning. No more of that. Get the damn Olympics out of there. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, put the foot down. Yeah, I mean, the burning's got to stop. It's still going on. In fact, in more places, they set up more.
Oh, really?
More places. So, up in Minamisoma, there's a new incinerator. So that will...
Tell our listeners, Yoshi, a lot of people don't know what's going on over there yet because they're never told unless they hear it here. For you newcomers... Japan has, for over 5 years, been using their municipal trash incineration systems, these big, tall towers of vents.
Yeah.
They just spew. They burn all their trash. They've been using those incinerators to burn radioactive waste and debris from the earthquake and tsunami, the debris. They're burning stuff. It's going straight up into the air, and either the heavier nuclides will come back down on the Japanese, the lighter ones will go up into the jet stream or some higher elevation wind current and be whisked right across the ocean, picked up in storms, evaporation picks some of it up, and it comes over here and it rains all over North America. Come on, it's got to stop.
Well, more trash is being burned all the time, and these are plasma incinerators, so it actually it ionizes everything, and so
great.
That's why it travels so fast. This is like a plasma that's being ejected into the atmosphere, and then it's recombining in all kinds of weird ways that, you know, Japanese scientists can't figure out. They're like little balls of metal. They've got like 20, 30 different kinds of isotopes in there, and they'll float in the air, float on the water, and the Japanese researchers don't know what to make of this. It's never been seen before, never been picked, but billions of this stuff, you know, like thousands and thousands of tons, as you say, are coming across the United States. And as soon as you hit any of the mountains in the state, you know, the Pacific Coast mountains, you know, the Sierras, the
Cascades,
Rockies,
the Sierras. Absolutely.
Cascades, even the what do they call those mountains there? The Alleghenies, on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you're going to have a lot of cloud activity, a lot of cooling and precipitation.
That's right.
Downdrafts,
right there.
And stuff is coming down right into the water supply of every American city, into the Great Mississippi Basin.
And you're not being told anything about this.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. And this stuff is like, these are nanoparticles. We're not talking about something you can filter out. They'll go right through a HEPA filter, these nanoparticles. So this is what's happening to the United States, this massive bombardment of nuclear material, you know, of highly concentrated nuclear, and it'll go right into your body. Imagine these nanoparticles that people are drinking, you know? It goes right into your body, lodges in your organs.
Nano, virus-sized particles,
yeah.
Nano.
Yeah, millions of a meter across. I mean, tiny things, you know, so they could penetrate anything. And the Japanese scientists are just, and they're shaped like little balls. So, you know, they'll work their ways in. They're like little bullets or something, old-fashioned bullets. They'll just work their way in, you know, to your body. They'll go right through your stomach, through your lungs, and work their way into your bloodstream, into your brain. So
and listen,
we're not seeing a lot of brain problems, you know,
yeah.
Psychological problems among Americans lately.
Yes.
It's not, just drugs. It's also these radioactive particles penetrating their blood.
I believe they're playing a factor in the massive numbers of people who are slipping into early onset dementia. I think it's also a factor in Creutzfeldt-Jakob. I think it's a factor in Alzheimer's. I think these are all basically tied into the same problem. And it's not only Fukushima,
Young kids.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Look at all the psychological problems that are just surging.
They're a mess. They're a mess.
American youth and children. And, I mean, it's like, this is unprecedented. This stuff didn't happen in the past. You know, there used to be, you know, Dennis the Menace, you know, kids who were too smart for their britches. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We don't have that now. Remember?
No.
I mean, you know,
they're too dumb for their
now,
britches.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have kids that are totally depressed, can't think right and all that. So you give them a smartphone and keep them busy. Because that's about all they can
do. That's exactly correctly. You've linked it perfectly. That's what you do. You got these people who are psychologically maladjusted. It's an organic physical issue in many cases, not just an emotional. And so what do? You give them a pacifier. You're right. You stick a nipple in their mouth by putting a cell phone in their hand.
Yes, exactly. So I mean, this stuff is, and where is the technology coming from? You know, from Japan, of course, you know, and from all the big DARPA and all the, everyone who's got a stake in nuclear power, the ones who develop that technology. So there's a relationship, you know, it sounds maybe conspiratorial, but it's not. It just, they find solutions to dealing with these problems. They write off the human race. And meanwhile, they're working on the, what do you call it? The future, the human transition project. You know, these
transhumanism,
for the elite. But look what happened to our big transhumanist, Al Gore, suffering from early on dementia. He's suffering badly, too. And obviously never had a heart attack or anything like that. He's from Tennessee Valley Authority. That's the nuclear power center of America.
There you go.
Nuclear research.
I got
it. He's the one talking. they put him up there to push climate change to get everyone thinking about coal and oil and gas rather than focusing on radioactivity. And look, he's a victim of it. And I didn't want to say that earlier, but during the election, because I don't want anything to affect the Democratic leadership during this election. But the truth is,
you're right, Yoshi. You're right.
I met
totally
one of his doctors.
Right.
Yeah, total dementia. Yeah, he's totally gone.
No kidding.
So, and so this. Whatever interview he did must have been faked. Did he talk to Megyn Kelly, or who did he talk to?
I forget. It was not long ago, though. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a big interview of him, which was like completely staged.
So he's really practically a babbling, drooling, brain-dead victim now.
Yeah, that's what I heard
something.
From the doctors. So well, look at Hillary. And they pumped these people up, right?
Did they ever with her?
3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, pumped them up. Roll them out, completely, manage everything they say. You know, they got their brains wired and all that, you know. And they're sort of like little howdy doodies there, you know, plugged in with little receptors, you know, behind their ear and all that.
That's exactly right.
This is insane what they're doing. This is again, this human, what was it at the end? This human, human transition. What was the name of that project again?
Transhumanism.
Transhumanism. I don't see anything humanistic about it. That's why I can't remember it.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's a ridiculous concept. You know, they're keeping these elites alive like automatons, a robot, you know?
That's right. So automatons, exactly right.
Automatons.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
We got to pause here. We'll come right back and continue our discourse in just a few minutes. Okay, welcome back. Glad you're along tonight. Monday night. Let me remind you, please, to look at that banner at the top of the page. It's called Bio Superfood. It's got pictures of green capsules. It's the only thing that I know about. Now, Yoshi is an expert on this, but it's the only thing I know about that is readily and easily available in one form, one source, that has been proven to help mitigate the effects of exposure to radiation or radioactivity. It was developed after Chernobyl by Dr. Michael Kuryak, a Russian scientist, and it works. I've taken it for over 4 years now, and I wouldn't be without it. Yoshi has his own regimen. This is available to all of you right now. You got to click on the box, please, and look at it. Please do this for yourself. It's not expensive, and it just is such a boost for your entire immunological function. It's terrific stuff. Now,
Yeah, I will agree with you on that, Jeff, because, you know, I mean, it packs two punches, and I'm definitely not paid to say this or anything, you know, but, you know, one is that it does contain natural iodine, which will help you boost your levels so you don't absorb as much of the radioactive iodine, because unfortunately in the States, the stuff that is airborne coming across on the jet stream, the radioactive iodine has only maybe 8-9 days of half-life,
right.
But it can cross the Pacific maybe as little as 3 days or 4 or 5 days. So you're going to get it over there in the United States. So you've got to have your iodine up. And the other thing is that it does what's called chelation. It helps remove, you know, the algae are very, very good. They're sponges for heavy metals. And radioactive isotopes are basically heavy metals.
Thank you for that. And it'll
release it through your digestive system. So it's like sort of cleansing you. You know, you're cleansing your body in ways that very, very few other things can. Maybe coriander can help, but you just can't take as much coriander and all that. You know, it's that would be ridiculous. And at this point, I don't know how much of that is contaminated now because it grows on land.
Exactly.
So. And Russia, you know, the source is Russia. So Russia's, despite all the nuclear disaster there, because of its proximity to the Arctic, it has been fairly clean. Now, that may change as Fukushima just continues to hammer down impact. So I would say, you know, that's the best internal
That's very nice
right
of you
now.
To say that. It's grown underground in the Kamchatka Peninsula. It's about as clean as you can get.
Because the prevailing wind blows out toward the Pacific, so that's fairly safe. Hokkaido is not, but Kamchatka still is. Everything moves up toward around the Bering Strait into Alaska, unfortunately, and maybe the farmost, eastern tip of Russia there. But it mainly, unfortunately, heads toward Alaska and then the Arctic region beyond that over to Greenland, you know, northern Canada and Greenland. So and I know that because I've flown over that area and I have my dosimeter out.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised at the low level over that area as composed to when I'm coming from, you know, North America. You know, it's pretty sad. And you can see the effects in the ground, too, in the ice, the cracking in the ice on the North American side. And on the Russian side, the Russian Far East are pristine, you know, pristine ice and snow there. You know, it's not cracked.
So visually, you can't argue that. Can't.
Yeah. Like I said, I flew over Greenland, northern Greenland in 2013. Uh-huh. I said they're all lying, man. The ice shelf is completely cracked up there. And it's all fractured. That's where they still on their doctored computer maps and all that, and even on their satellite maps, they're showing a solid ice sheet. I didn't see that. I was flying right over the place. Much lower to the ground. Back in early March. It was a late winter, 2013. Absolutely not, folks. You know, it's not you got to see things with your own eyes, you know, and then you can make your conclusions. But that kind of evidence you can't deny. You know, that's supposed to be where the Arctic ice sheet is the thickest. It's not. It's been fragmented into little ice cubes. So.
Wow.
I don't know what to say about this scientific cover-up. NASA is involved. They have all this satellite photo technology.
They know everything. Models. They've measured the ocean at multiple depths and in dozens of locations. They're measuring the atmosphere. That's NOAA.
Yeah, NOAA and NASA are basically they're twins. They're joined at the hip. So they're doing absolute fabrication of the evidence that they're coming up with, which is laughable. You know, because I did, you know, in one of the articles I did, I posted my photos there for everyone to see. You know.
Go to Yoshi's columnist box and just a gold mine of material. Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah, just look up some of the stuff, the Arctic, my name in Arctic, and you'll see those photos in the archive at Rents, and you will see the real evidence that this stuff, the ice sheet was gone, you know, like probably by 2012 at the latest, it was gone. It was fragmented under tritium and nuclear radioactive isotopes that landed there. So
yeah, I've seen a few photos,
and that's
not
why
many.
It's so cold. You know, right now it's so cold in America because all the ice is not holding. You know, the ice cube, the ice is diminishing because of this fragmentation, and therefore it's getting much colder, and apparently is a very, very cold winter in the United States.
Well, they got that so-called polar vortex that is coming down. Same thing.
Well, the thing is, it can't be happening every year since 2012 if it was a natural event.
What a coincidence.
Maybe one year you'll get a freak event, okay?
Yep.
But this has been happening every year. Yeah, how do we explain that? Every 2012 would be the cutting edge year when the world, North American weather changed, you know? By, let's say, November 2011, the weather was radically starting to change in the United States, Canada, Mexico, all along. And so it's inexplicable because there's only one factor, and that is Fukushima. There's nothing else. And then the death rate, right? Mortality rates going up in the United States, okay, mm-hmm. in that same time frame. There's just too many things. There's just too much data out there showing a major disaster with no other potential causes, no epidemics, no huge, I can't even think of, no huge, the solar storms increase because of Fukushima, but they're not the driving factor, obviously. So this is what we're facing now, and this is what the Trump administration faces, the first real crisis that they face, never mind Russia, China, all that stuff, never mind Mexico or the Arab terrorists, that's somewhat contained. The issue right now has got to be addressed as the first priority of this administration is open up the data about Fukushima and get your best people together, except for the liars and fakers, unless they want to confess everything, and come up with some strategies. It's not going to be a mega strategy. It's going to be a lot of little things. And you've got to put pressure on Japan to stop this, stop the releases. I think it's deliberate. They just feel this is the easy way out. We've got the Americans, politicians bribed off. They pay millions of dollars to the governments of state governments in Washington, Oregon, and California for the so-called cleanup. So that's basically hush money.
It's all sickening. Sick.
Yeah.
Japan has gotten away with murder. Murder.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And this idiot, Abe, is coming to Pearl Harbor at the end of this month, after Christmas, a couple of days after Christmas. He's going to be in Pearl Harbor in radioactive Hawaii with President Obama. And he's already said he's not going to apologize for the sneak attack, for starting the war. I mean, why bother to come? Why didn't Obama just tell him, go home, stay home? We'll wait for the next guy. We'll wait for a Japanese prime minister who's willing to apologize. He can come to Pearl
Obama,
Harbor. We don't want you to come to Pearl Harbor.
Obama couldn't care less about America.
We know
that.
Well, I'm sure Abe's team, they'll be popping bottles of champagne there and saying,
they'll be laughing it up.
Let's do it again. Okay, yeah. And how's Fukushima doing? Excellent. Operation One, so it's radioactive here in Hawaii. It must be hell there in Oregon and Washington, Alaska. Wonderful. Another bottle of champagne, please.
You got it. I wonder how many workers at Fukushima have died or are dying. You never hear about that in five years.
You never did. And remember that time I got that big interview with one of the big managers of the big contract firms?
Yeah.
He said they're going... Some guys are there like 2 days. They have to pay the minimum 2 weeks, and they start bleeding out of their eyes.
That quickly.
Eyes are bleeding.
Wow.
2 days, he said. We just put them on the bus and we send them back to Hokkaido and Okinawa, far distant places.
Go away and die.
We never see them. We never hear from these guys again. They're working.
Wow.
That's why they have to work with the Yakuza, the criminals. I don't know what happened to those guys when they get home. I dread the thought of it. You work 2 days as a jumper inside, reactor 3 or something, right? To turn down some valve or something. Then you start bleeding out of your nose and eyes and ears, and they send you home. What do they do with you? There's no medical care for that stuff. So, this is murderous. There's a bunch of foreigners working there. They say 75. Oh, man, it's got to be 10 times that amount or more. Maybe 100 times. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah?
What Yoshi said is really important. Understand, there's no mega approach to dealing with this. It's got to be done with intelligence. There are lots of little things which, in the aggregate, can make a substantial difference. But they won't tell you about biosuperfood. I will. Yoshi will, and I really appreciate that, because this man is one of the world's foremost, if not at the very top, of environmental reporters and researchers. He knows what's going on. And for him to say that is double. We've had Michael Kiriak, the doctor who invented it, on here. But you cannot get the truth. You can't get anything from the Obama administration. And I'm going to call right now on the Trump administration's Department of Environmental Protection, the agency, to step up to the plate and tell the people the truth about what they've just recently admitted for the first damn time in over 5.5 years, that, gee, there's cesium-137 and 134, I guess, across the coast. And they also said it's in Canadian salmon. What the hell does that mean? What about American salmon? Depends on who catches the fish, what the terms of the name of the fish are. If a Canadian catches it in Canadian waters, anyway, look, it's all sickening. So you got to take care of yourself, or I don't know. There's no hope.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we're not even at the point of talking about havens. You know, there's a lot of marine mammal rescue centers who have sold out to NOAA because they get funding. And they do take radioactivity measurements, but they don't let their staff know. Their staff are there washing down radioactive seals and sea lions and, you know, elephant seals. This is not good. I mean, we have to have a better, you know, policy of how are we going to save all that wildlife out there, you know? And what about all the native communities, you know, the original Americans, the first Americans in the Pacific Northwest, they live on seafood, and game and so on. So nothing's being done, you know. It's the last act in a long chain of terrible things that have been done to them, but it's got to stop in our time. You know, we can't do these things. And so, in other words, what we're trying to say, I guess, to the EPA and to the Trump cabinet as a whole, we're not here just to raise hell. We've had to raise hell. Because look at the opposition we face, the cover-up. The idea is to come up with some solutions. We've proposed many things, like forcing Japan or encouraging Japan to drill tunnels into the Abukuma Plateau, hard rock, and store the water there for its lifetime, for the lifetime of most of the nuclear isotopes there. I mean, that can be done. These are feasible steps that can be done. The Japanese have the technology and the budget to do that. They don't need to buy more weapons or I don't know, whatever the heck they're buying. They can put that money into preventing the destruction of their own kind of the Pacific and the United States.
Exactly.
So we do need a cooperative approach with the EPA. They got to bring down people like Dana and hear him out and listen to what he has to say, what can be done. Where can we begin the fight back against this monstrosity? And if it means Hawaii losing some tourism or, you know, Vancouver or Seattle losing that, too bad. We'll lose it for maybe 10 years at most, you know, maybe even less. If we do a good job, it'll be pretty, you know, we might be able to contain this thing within 5 years, you know, 5 years, you know.
Wow. Well, I hope for good things. That's all we can do. But if the EPA continues to keep this covered up, then to hell with them. This is just inhuman. It can't go on. They've got to come forward.
Let's put it this way. Trump was elected for a reason, and that's to make America great again. But I think a nation of radiation victims hobbling around with mentally incapacitated, physically dying, their children mutating, that is not a great nation. I hate to say that. That's not a great America. You know, that's America the failure, absolute cowardly failure for failing to stand down
criminally. Criminally.
So to make America great again, the first step is we got to prevent this fundamental damage that's happening on the wide front all across North America to the American people.
There's nowhere to hide.
There's no place to hide. Yeah. No, it's starting to get in the water system. And, you know, and that's just a nightmare. When that starts to happen, it becomes like Japan, you know, a nation of cripples, you know, a nation of mentally incapacitated cripples. That's what Japan's turned into. And it's really sad to see that. But, you know, the Japanese, they tend to be subservient, you know, to the state, to the powers that be.
They're really...
Yeah, but American people showed they weren't, right? I think in November.
Yeah.
Didn't the American people stand up and say,
yes,
we're not going to take it anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to appeal to the American people, to that populist movement, and to the Trump administration. Get on the ball. Let's get with it. Let's contain this thing in Japan, contain it in the Pacific, contain it on, you know, in the coast and mountains of the United States, and do everything we can to prevent this disaster from entering every community and every home. We've got to do it now. This is a civil... I've always told you, right? Remember I said in the first, the first show or the second show, this is a civil defense issue. I mean, people don't understand what civil defense is.
Yeah, you did.
You know, this is a kind of a war. Yeah,
it is. Of course it's a war. And you know,
America's on the defensive. Yeah?
Very early on, the only intelligent pronouncements, there are two sources for information. One came from Europe, and I can't cite the agency, but Europe literally warned all the people in the EU and in Europe in general.
That was from Germany. Yeah, that was from Germany. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they said, do not eat, if you're pregnant or young people, anything grown outside in the ground, like green leafies, whatever, because it is picking up radiation from the rain, going right in the soil, right up in the plants, uptake in the plant. And the second one, of course, was over here. And we did nothing over here at all. Nothing. Nothing. The best thing that happened over here was UC Berkeley. Now, UC Berkeley, in the beginning, after several months, began to put out monthly or every 6 weeks, a pretty comprehensive reading and a report on a lot of different tests. They were testing groundwater, testing various agricultural crops, testing leaves, testing the air, and they were putting out results every test. And every time they put out a result, what happened? The curve kept going up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feds told them to stop. Stop reporting because it was bad news. And they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is what I will always hold against you, President Obama, for doing this. There was
no
reason to do this.
No.
He did it. He doesn't care about life, the human life.
He doesn't.
You know, the domesticated animals, the wildlife. He doesn't care. You know, if everyone in America dropped dead except his precious little daughters, he's okay with that. He'll live with that. And I said, that's not a president. That's a criminal. And we have a civil defense issue on our hands, a massive one. Probably bigger, way bigger than Pearl Harbor was.
It's the biggest one we've ever had. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then he's a war criminal for going along with that.
Of course
I mean,
he
this is, though, you know. And then there is a deliberate aspect of what Japan has been doing. I said from the beginning, and I argued in Japan, I was there, you know, in Fukushima, arguing, we've got to contain this. We've got to contain this. Even if it means, you know, everyone in the Fukushima area will die early. You've got to do this for your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the rest of the world. We can't let this monster out of Fukushima. We've got to contain it here as best we can. Every man, especially older guys, are going to have to do this because you know, you're going to die anyway, so you might as well die trying to fight this monster rather than run away. And what did the government do? Pulled everyone out. No manpower, you know, no ability to fight this thing. Let it all go.
It's unbelievable.
It's outrageous what happened.
It's unbelievable. You know, Yoshi, I used to have, when I moved here, I came here because of nature. There were birds everywhere, bugs, birds, life. Mm. Now, no more. No more birds.
Yeah.
Hardly any. A few scrub jays, a few migratory little flocks, little time flying through here. Canadian geese, they're not being killed off yet. And ducks. Ducks are down by about 75% because they eat bugs.
Yeah.
And the bugs are repositories, little micro droplets of radiation.
Yeah. This is, again, this ecological wipeout. You know, an extinction event is happening before us. So that's why I said we've got to figure out some havens, some pockets. How do we keep these species so that within their genetic pool, there's enough diversity for them to continue on after the half-life of these radionucleotides is sort of like reached and the threat starts to go back down? And that's hard to say with Fukushima, of course. All that stuff's underground. All that just the MOX fuel rods are underground, still leaking. So the thing just goes on and on. But I'm just saying there will be a point of diminished radioactivity at some point. We've got to set up a strategy to reach that point for humans and for domesticated animals and wildlife. And also plants. Plants, like I say, plants are mutating everywhere. We just don't see them yet, but I'm sure if you go to the Rockies and you go to some of the upper mountain alpine valley, you will see mutants. I predict that. You know, they're seeing them in Hawaii, apparently. So, and there's no one doing this now. Dana goes up there by himself. Yeah. You know? I mean, the entire scientific establishment, all the, the national forest people, the, fish and wildlife people, they should all be, everyone should have dosimeters, should be, on lookout for mutants, taking reports and building a database. I mean, what are all these people doing? They're
exactly.
Just sitting around silently. Yeah, right? The government doesn't want them to go out. It's just keeping them on the leash. And these are people who their lives are dedicated to this stuff, and they've been leashed. So I'm sorry, this Obama administration was a real stinker. I can't wait for those guys to be out. They're a bunch of
4 weeks. They're traitors. They're traitors. Traitors. Yeah. Traitors not only to this country, but traitors to our species. Traitors to all species on this planet.
So we appeal to Donald Trump and his team. Get with it. Yeah, we're ready to help. We're ready to do our bit. We've done our bit, but we're ready to do more to try to make this.
But
thing
you've got
move
to
forward
tell the people. You've got to tell the people what's happening.
The people have the answers. Absolutely, they have the answers. You know, I mean, they're farmers. There are mechanics. There are people. You know, I mean, a lot of the solutions are going to come from places you never imagined, from people you never imagined. They will find a way. This is the biggest battle in American history, fought by more people.
It's the truth.
Yeah, and we rely on those people, and think they will win if allowed to get out there into this fight.
They've got to have a chance, and the chance is called knowledge. They've got to have the facts. Yoshi,
We're running out of time. Out of time. We've already run out of time in a certain sense.
We really have.
Could have done so much more had we been on this thing from the start.
Well,
we've lost, 80% of the game, So I think this is terrible, but we got to fight back,
Yeah.
We got to start this fight back.
Merry Christmas in Hong Kong to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you, Happy New Year.
All right.
Yeah, well, I hope it's happy. Well, let's say it's a lot happier since the Electoral College decided to support democracy and not subvert it. So
it's
a much merrier Christmas.
Well, so
for
thanks.
Everyone there.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Take care. Okay. There he goes. And Yoichi Shimatsu, he is a remarkable man, truly a hero of our time. And we will be back tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Busy day tomorrow. Hope you can join us. Take care.